Buongiorno.
Yo-ho, Alan.
The Not A Thing Podcast is going for episode 184, and it's a great day. I think so, anyway. It rained a little bit in California, which we need. I would still say that El Nino is not a thing. Or rather, I guess it was a thing in that it rained a bunch, but the drought is still a thing, so El Nino was not as much of a thing as people were saying it was going to be.
It's not the Godzilla El Nino we were promised.
Oh, speaking of Godzilla, and not to get way too off track, but I just saw a trailer. There's going to be a new Godzilla movie that's coming out in Japan, and it looks like they're going back to the man in the suit Godzilla.
Yeah, I believe it's the same company that produced the originals.
That's awesome. Which is great, because the two Godzilla movies that were made over here were not as good.
I liked the newest one.
I thought it was fine. I think
let them fight, Alan.
Yeah.
Let them
fight. I think everything except, like, they could have cut out all of the stuff with that one guy who's trying to get back to his wife and daughter.
Oh, I'm not saying it was a perfect movie, but it had some great stuff in it.
True, true.
Yeah, right. No, the Toho, the yes. Original Godzilla people are making a Godzilla resurgence.
That's a thing.
Yeah, I will watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, we'll see how quickly it comes over. It'll probably come over in some form or another. I don't know if I have to wait for the fan sub version. I'm sure we'll get an official version over here in the States. We'll see. As long as they don't do the what they did with the original Godzilla, where they like dub in an American actor, like they snuck in, I think it was Gregory Peck, into the original Godzilla in order to make it palatable for American audiences.
They did, yes. Yeah. No, the best is I think it was also a Toho movie. It might have been another Japanese production company, but they did Godzilla 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, as Godzilla's destroying the city, the survivors are standing on the top of a building, and the line is something to the effect of, maybe there's a little Godzilla in all of us.
Wow.
16 years later, that's still in my head. Like, what?
Media, it's a thing for sure. All right, so let's get down and dirty with some more dirty auto news. We're continuing, I guess, like our version of Car Talk on the Not A Thing Podcast. Last week we talked about how Mitsubishi was joining the ranks of Volkswagen at admitting to cheating standards and tests. In Mitsubishi's case, they were cheating fuel efficiency. I actually read an update on that saying that they've been cheating fuel efficiency standards since 1991. It's 25 years. That's a pretty good legacy for them. But Fiat is under fire this week for also cheating diesel emissions, similarly to how Volkswagen was doing it, but not as intricately. So the Dieselgate stuff from Volkswagen was they had a computer algorithm that figured out if it was on a test bed, and then it would put it into reduced emissions mode, so it would pass.
Very the Fiat, true.
What it would do is, I guess, the normal German test cycle for the emissions test is 20 minutes. And Fiat engineered, you know, not a whole lot of algorithm into this, but they engineered a what they call a warm-up mode. So for 22 minutes, it puts it in a mode where it protects the engine by operating at reduced kind of capacity. So it warms the car up, so it's under the emissions cap when it's in that warm-up mode, after which it's a normal driving car, which is, I'm assuming, above the emissions standard. So
I actually kind of respect that. It's bad. They shouldn't have done it.
Right.
But figuring out that, okay, it's 20 minutes, and we'll just have it do this for 22 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a fair amount of ingenuity in the cheating that's going on. which you do have to respect on one hand, and then really slap them in the face with the other hand, because
it's, oh, absolutely.
it's really not a thing. Screwing over the consumer and Mother Earth, not a thing.
And this is the second time that group of countries has done that to the world.
Right.
For those of you keeping track at home, playing your emissions dodging bingo, that is now Germany, Japan, and Italy.
Yes.
The old Axis trifecta.
Right, right. I really hope that that doesn't spark anything. Let's hope not. Let's just keep on keeping on, and keeping the car companies honest. We'd rather not extend this part of the show, but we will continue to keep track of crazy stuff like this. Kind of moving over to crazy stuff on this side of the ocean, in back here in the States, specifically in Mississippi. Always a bastion of reason and rationality. There's some news that a bill was defeated in, I believe, one of their legislative houses, which would have modified the grounds for divorce in Mississippi. And in Mississippi, as in a lot of states, grounds for divorce is restricted in a bunch of ways. Like, it has to there has to be like an infidelity or some
impotence
or yes, I guess.
In Mississippi, you can get divorced for impotence,
right? Or this is something that I guess, you know, breaks the, I guess, traditional role of marriage, for whatever that means anymore. But one of the things that is not grounds for divorce in Mississippi is domestic violence. And
apparently that's part of the tradition of marriage in Mississippi.
Right. So
trying to preserve that.
So that's pretty much not a thing. I think,
I can say absolutely not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. In, I think more, I don't know, more with it states, California, for example, there's the concept of a no-fault divorce, where you can just list irreconcilable differences as grounds for divorce, which I think is a lot more realistic, as a lot of marriages are kind of entered upon with, you know, little or no forethought. So maybe the divorces should be fine too with that as well. I think that I'm fairly libertarian about the state, you know, being involved in marriages and divorces. I think that's not a thing. I think that level of relationship is really between the people that are in that relationship, and then figuring out, you know, the legal ramifications of like stuff around that is fine, but like, whether they choose to be married or not, that's something that the state should acknowledge, but not necessarily have rules about.
Yeah, people can decide they want to do that, and then people should be able to be free to make the choice to, I don't want to do this thing I'm doing anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like at-will employment. Which is a thing, and also, you know, It has the same kind of level of protections. If you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then you should have a way out of that. Or even if it's just like change, like people change, people are growing up, and that's how life is. I mean, life expectancies are much longer than they probably were when those laws were put together.
Till death do us part was like your 50s or 60s probably.
Yeah.
Now in America, we live a lot longer.
Yeah. 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 Hooray for medical science. Thanks, Obama.
I don't hope we can give him credit on that one. I know he gets stuck with a lot of blame that isn't his, but it's not maybe not issue that credit.
Well, keeping in the medical science vein, we're moving over to a company called First Response, which I'm not sure. I think their whole deal is just pregnancy tests, if I'm remembering right, and they make the standard, like, I guess the woman pees on the little stick, and then if it turns a color or a symbol appears or whatever, you're pregnant or you're not, depending on if you're pregnant or not, I guess. But this company is taking it to I don't know, how do you say this? What is
it? Not its natural conclusion.
A very unnatural conclusion, which is they're taking it to the cloud. They're
pee on the cloud.
They're they're connecting this pregnancy test via Bluetooth to an app, and it's a real thing. We're not making this up, unfortunately, but it's a Bluetooth pregnancy test, and there's a companion app that you would install on your phone, and it would pair over Bluetooth to the pregnancy test, and then when you're waiting for the test results, the app will apparently play videos while you wait for entertainment, and then give you the test results. And then you could also, if you opted into it, you could use it to keep track of like a menstrual cycle or other test results in the past, and generally put all of this together. And I think it's sort of interesting, but I think this is one of those, like, did we really need to make an internet connected pregnancy test?
No, we don't. It does. No, especially considering the privacy policy that goes along with it, where they can share your data with third parties.
Right. I thought that was an interesting kind of aspect of it as well. It wasn't just that the Bluetooth kind of connectivity exists, and, you know, you could see it on an app instead of, I guess, looking at the stick and comparing it to, you know, the pictures on the back or whatever. Because you can keep track of stuff in the app, and because it's an app on your phone, one of the things that it can and apparently does do is it will keep, it can notify, like, third parties, aka other companies that want to sell you stuff, of coupons. Now that you're pregnant, maybe you want to buy, like, prenatal vitamins or something. And then you would get emails based on this. And it also has, one of the clauses in the privacy policy is that it will have access to your contacts. Not that I know why it needs access to your contacts. I mean, I could sort of see the, you know, third party thing, because maybe you do want coupons if you're going to be pregnant. Maybe you do want access to specific resources or whatever emailed to you. But at the same time, there's lots of potential for real bad things to happen and odd collusions of technology and advertising.
Yeah, the app has permissions for, like, all the data on your phone. Your pictures, your emails, your calendar, all of that is stuff requesting permission for the app on your phone.
Right. Which is not a thing.
This is not a product that needs to exist. This is a hidden attempt to get all your data.
Yeah. And this is, unfortunately, one
you
more...
You pay them money to give them all your shit. and I guess also piss, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, it's another failure of the Internet of Things to really, you know, have privacy in mind. It seems like more and more the things that are being held up as examples of, like, oh, look what we can do with, you know, much more connected technology, tend to be also one of the things that we're going to do is sell all your information and otherwise keep you in the dark about it until it's too late.
You should not connect things to the internet with your personal data, especially if that is a thing that you pee on. You're pissing away your privacy.
I think that's really the takeaway here. Oh my gosh.
This gets us closer to the singularity.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? So moving kind of away from the singularity and into the world of entertainment, which hopefully is still entertaining, is some news from the NBA about now that it's the postseason, they're having kind of meetings about rules changes and stuff like that, and this is, I guess, normal practice for the NBA. But one of the proposed changes that is coming in next year is not changes about the 3-point line or the shot clock or other alterations to the rules to make the game more interesting or more exciting or keep it not just an all day long. Are the Warriors gonna win? Kind of news cycle. Which is fine. Go Warriors.
Which, as we're recording right now, they're winning by 30 points.
Excellent. We'd rather it not go to Houston anyway. So
no.
But one of the rules changes that they're looking at is specifically to allow ads on the jerseys. So the proposal is to add a 4-inch patch on the chest, I believe. Just kind of above and to the left or right of where the player number is, and to use that for a company logo or a sponsoring logo, and the deal, which has to be, I guess, ratified by all the NBA teams, is that the NBA and the teams themselves will split the sponsorship costs 50-50. And this is 100% not a thing.
This isn't NASCAR.
I think it's sad that the NBA, which I'm pretty sure, similarly to most major league sports, is probably flush with cash. Probably makes money hand over fist, and they're just looking for yet another way to make money and otherwise remind everyone that there are brands out in the world.
That is a whole separate account. I actually just was reading an article today about the newest Transformers movie. Paramount is getting sued because a Chinese company gave them a bunch of money. I think it was like $750,000 to put their logo in the movie, and they didn't do it. And now they're getting sued.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, I think advertising probably needs a shakeup. I think that's true, especially when it comes to television and commercials and how that's going to get reworked in the age of kind of streaming and on-demand entertainment and kind of moving away from traditional commercial TV, or rather commercial-based TV. Ads on players' jerseys, I mean, aren't there enough ads or sponsorships in major league sports? I remember
the screen's already full of all the ads.
Yeah, I remember
the court's full of the ads.
Not only is that, there are moments in the games that are like, oh, this free throw is brought to you by blah blah. I mean, it's not free throws, thankfully, but like I remember there watching you know, an NHL game live, and it was like, this penalty kill is brought to you by Mr. Clean or whatever the moment was. And if Mr. Clean would like to give us any money for us just saying Mr. Clean just now, I mean, we would take it. I'm just saying, hashtag reptilian overlords. But yeah, sponsorships and they kind of go along with team sports, and I know that those things exist. Like this person is sponsored by this person, and so whenever you see them when they're not on the court, they're wearing, you know, the Nike hat, or they're wearing the Adidas jacket, or whatever, and that's fine. But sometimes you just want to watch the game, and having the company logos in it really detracts from the game. I remember when I was in, and the example of this for this is I was in Barcelona for work, and I was, you know, walking around. I was like, oh, well, I want to go buy a Barcelona football club jersey because I'm in Barcelona, and that's interesting, and it would be a neat souvenir. And I went to go in, and I had not realized this, but in Spain, and I guess this is the Premier League, they allow sponsorships on the jerseys, but it's not an innocuous like 4-inch little thing in the corner. This was dead center in the middle of the jersey. It was, I think the company was Qatar International, which is such a weird thing to see on a Spanish soccer team's jersey. And I was like confused. I wasn't sure what was going on. And I realized, oh, that's their sponsor. And they paid for that huge ad in the, you know, dead center in the chest on all the jerseys all the time. And it's, you know, it's not far-fetched to see sports teams doing that. I mean, in light of the NBA announcing this change, I know the NFL has specifically said that they won't, but the NHL is considering taking up that rule. I don't know if Major League Baseball would do that. I hope not. There's just so many ads already on everything. I feel like it's not having the NASCAR level of ads would be great.
That's the low bar.
Yeah, it's funny that NASCAR, which you know, grew out of bootlegging and having cars that looked kind of normal but were souped up in order to outrun kind of the cops, and has this history of kind of being subversive, is really just, you know, corporate America logos plastered all over. It's aggravating.
It's the sport of the man.
So NBA, it sounds like the plan's going to be ratified by the board or whatever. I don't actually understand the governing bodies involved with the NBA or any sports team for that matter. But it sounds like it's a foregone conclusion from the article that I'd read. Hopefully it is inobtrusive and not kind of all over everything, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll have to listen back to this podcast in a few years when you don't even see the team's color on the jersey because it's all ads at that point.
Yeah, this was the first one.
Right. Or maybe they'll do what they do in baseball for that little logo on the side of to the side of the batter's box, where it's a green screen and they just kind of drop the logo in. So maybe they'll just have a patch on the team player.
The screen patches on all the jerseys. Yeah. That might be hard to do.
That would be an interesting use of technology. I'm not sure if they would do it, but
I'd actually be impressed by that from a technological standpoint, but otherwise it's deplorable.
Well, moving away from entertainment in one sphere, we're going to move into entertainment in the video game sphere. This time, talking about the latest entry in is it Activision? Activision's Call of Duty series. Is it Activision? Am I doing that right?
It is. Yeah.
So it was leaked on PSN, I guess, because they don't know how to hide things that are not for sale yet. There was in the PSN network a pre-sale for the new Call of Duty game with the name of the game in there, and it's being called Infinite Warfare, which I'm assuming is a reference to both the developer that is making it, Infinity Ward, which made the original Modern Warfare game, Call of Duty 4, and then, you know, coming back to the Modern Warfare roots, hopefully. Well, it's not really roots, it's more of like the heyday, in my opinion, of the Call of Duty series. I actually didn't play...
Well, yeah, it was before Activision forced out all the creative people at Infinity War, so they left to start their own company.
Right. Yeah, I didn't...
Maybe Infinite Warfare is a commentary on the military-industrial complex.
Instead of actually fighting, you're just, you know, moving, hiding the budget from the Congressional Budget Office.
Yeah, it's the plans put in place to keep us in a constant state of war to keep feeding the machine.
Well, it certainly helps for a yearly release cycle for these games anyway.
Yeah.
But I bring this up not necessarily because I really enjoy Call of Duty games. I don't think I've played anything after Modern Warfare 3. I didn't play Black Ops at all. Or whatever the newest one is. It's like, I don't even know. I just remember seeing the ads.
They've been in a bunch of shitty ones after Modern Warfare 3.
You're like wearing power armor, and there are androids that shoot at you, and drones, and I don't understand. But an interesting rumor that came along with this is that they're going to be remastering the original Modern Warfare games for the new next gen systems. I guess they're all current gen systems now. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and that kind of thing. But that's sort of interesting to me. I remember Modern Warfare very fondly, and it came up actually earlier in the week because someone I guess is writing a book. And it's coinciding with the anniversary of the Chernobyl meltdown, and the Chernobyl sniper mission in Modern Warfare might be one of my favorite things in all of video gaming.
It was real fun. That was a fun game.
Yeah. It was, I think, an interesting bridge of having like it was a good single player game, and it was arguably, at least at the time, like a really good multiplayer game. I'm sure now it's dead. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's still interesting. Maybe still people still play it. I don't know. I've never looked.
People still play everything.
Yeah,
it's interesting. The opponent in those first Modern Warfare games is basically ISIS.
Yeah.
Before ISIS was a thing.
Right.
Prescient video game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun kind of game, because I think up to that point the Call of Duty games were World War II, and
yes, they were. The first three were World War II based.
Yeah.
And the first one still might be my favorite. Because the missions that are in that are like, it's like playing Saving Private Ryan, the video game.
Yeah.
They should remaster that. Go back to World War II.
Yeah, I remember liking World at War, which was that was World War II, right?
Yes, that one was also good.
Yeah. It had Gary Oldman as a voice, if I'm remembering right.
And Kiefer Sutherland.
Right. Good stuff, for sure. We'll see what comes out of that. Have you played any of the kind of high def upscales of games? Like, I know they did one for Tomb Raider, and they did one for The Last of Us, and one for
I believe they did it for Uncharted.
Yeah, I'm actually playing that one right now. In waiting for Uncharted 4 to finally come out. Hopefully it makes its street date. Actually, I know it's going to make its street date because in the UK, I just read something like, or I don't know if this claim is accurate, but 10,000 copies of it were stolen and then are being sold on eBay ahead of the street date, which is in, I think, another 2 weeks.
So it's there.
Yeah, so it exists, and maybe I'll finally get to play it. But in the meantime, I played through the first Uncharted game, and I remember it. You know, the mechanics felt the same. I mean, it's essentially the same game, but they upscaled all the textures. They didn't change anything else in the game, from what I understand. But it looks good. It looks really good. I mean, it certainly seems to have been made for a PlayStation 4 platform, which is what I'm playing it on. So it doesn't at all feel like the textures are blocky or old. So they did a good job. I would be interested to play, for nostalgia's sake, probably the original Modern Warfare. There were a number of pieces of that game that I really enjoyed. So that would be fun. Yeah, it's, again, not enough. Nostalgia is a thing, but it's probably not enough of a thing for me to want to, you know, buy a whole game just based on that.
They're expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly not a full price. Let's just put it that way. I didn't buy the Uncharted remasters a full price. I paid much less than half price, thankfully. And it wasn't that much longer after it had come out. I think it came out 3 months ago, and the prices had already dropped. So delayed gratification, it's a thing. So speaking of delayed gratification, we got some interesting news from about the Solar Impulse plane, which is trying to be the first one to circumnavigate the globe completely without the use of fossil fuel. It may even be any kind of fuel at all. Like, I think it is wholly charged by solar power, and it's a plane. It's a glider for the most part, but it does have propellers. But and it has batteries, so it has some storage on it. But it's all charged by the sun, so they're not plugging it in or anything like that. And it's also not flying continuously, which is what I was a little confused about when I had first read about it. But it took off, I believe, from Japan and was able to fly to Hawaii in one leg, which is pretty fantastic. And then it spent a fair amount of the time on the ground in Hawaii because there was a problem with the batteries overheating or some system overheating. And when it was ready to fly again, they decided, because of the way, I guess, Earth works, it was winter in the northern hemisphere, which is where they're flying, and there would be less sunlight time. So they waited until just a few days ago to fly from Hawaii to California. So that flight was apparently without incident. It flew in over the Golden Gate, and the next stop is going to be somewhere on the East Coast when they decide to pick it up again. So I think this is great. It's a cool, interesting use of the technology, and it really shows kind of the limitations of a lot of the systems involved. I mean, if you could only fly a plane in the summer because it needs the power of the sun to really work, that would be kind of a bummer. But then also the systems involved, like the batteries, have to have a certain amount of power in order to be able to work when the sun is not shining, i.e. overnight, or when it's cloudy. And then also That they're more, there's more involved with keeping a thing in the air than just, you know, wings. So that's interesting, and it's totally a thing. We'll be following this to see how they do in flying across the United States and more with that.
There's a few interesting things I would like to point out from the article that we found, or that Alan found. The plane is plastered in advertisements. The picture that we have, big Moet Hennessy logo right at the top of the plane. But I'm okay with that. I think that's different than putting it on someone's jersey.
Right.
I mean, that is a multi-million-dollar industry in the NBA, whereas this is some super experimental thing. Like, you're going to take whatever money you can to make something like this happen.
Right, right. I mean, there was news just this week that I guess there's a department in NASA that was specifically around flying to Mars, and its funding was officially cut this week, which is a major bummer. But it just shows, you know, that kind of the interesting big think projects, like, you know, flying to Mars or getting a plane around the world without using fuel, it's real hard. It's not something that is that you know is sexy from a like commercial standpoint, apparently. Good for Moet and Hennessy for throwing a little bit.
The pilot, one of the pilots, his name is Picard. Bertrand Picard.
Is he a captain? Is he?
I would say if you're the flying the plane, you get to call yourself captain.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Make it so. There was one other point about the picture that that you noticed, so I think it'd be best if you
Yeah, the pilot took a picture of himself from inside the airplane by sticking his hand outside of the airplane and used a selfie stick, which I'm very conflicted about.
This is what science has come to. This is how poorly funded science is. They're using selfie sticks to take pictures.
Well, is that the first acceptable use of a selfie stick? Like, is that acceptable if you're flying a solar-powered plane with your hand out the window? Can you use a selfie stick then? I kind of feel like I might give them a pass.
Okay. I mean, they're saving, you know, on drag by not having a camera just hanging off the wing all the time. I guess that's a reasonable thing to do.
It is a pretty neat picture.
Yeah.
Which is great for a podcast, but we put links up. Go to the website. You'll find it.
We'll link it in the show notes. You'll see it, hopefully. Are show notes a thing? They are, right? People look at those, right?
I know you make them.
Well, we're going to continue to make them, and we're going to continue to make the podcast. If you are a fan of the podcast, like I hope you are, and would like to...
If you've made it this far, and you are.
And if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, please, 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 please leave us a note. It would be great. We would love for a sponsor on the podcast. We reiterate our policy with sponsors, which is, you know, we'll pretty much do and say whatever you want because we haven't had one yet. So we're kind of improvising our sponsor policy as we go. But if you would like to,
low cost of entry.
If you'd like to test it, feel free. We'll see. But if you would like to participate with the show by being on the show, please let us know. We would love it. And if you, you know, at the very least, like us on Facebook, retweet us on Twitter, all that kind of good stuff, it'd be great. So we're going to move into the last story, kind of piggybacking on that note about NASA cutting Mars funding or funding about the project for landing on Mars. Specifically, that's a real bummer that NASA is doing that. Not a thing. Or rather, NASA isn't doing that. It's being done to NASA, rather. NASA is great. I think NASA is still a thing. Going to space is still a thing. And SpaceX apparently agrees with us. Or we agree with SpaceX. One of those. We'll confer with Elon about, you know, who's doing what. But SpaceX has announced today that they're going to be sending the Dragon spacecraft. And this is the similar to the one that was used to they sent to the International Space Station a couple weeks ago, and they were able to get the Falcon 9 booster stage to land on the drone ship. This is a similar style of craft that they can launch into space, but then the Dragon module that they're looking at also has, I guess, retro rockets. I'm not sure exactly what they're calling them on the craft, but landing rockets. So that craft could potentially land on any planet for purposes of research or whatever. And the target is to put one of them on Mars by 2018 or so, which is well before any of the space agencies around the world have even like thought about doing it, let alone committed to doing it. So I think it's really interesting. Sending stuff into space is great and is still a thing. The best thing about this was when I first read this, I thought that they were going to be sending people in the craft, because I know that they were testing different versions of the Dragon spacecraft. The current one is a payload only version, which they're using to resupply the International Space Station, but newer ones have the potential to have a crew on board for periods of time. And there was a clarifying tweet that they would not be sending people to Mars on the Dragon craft, because it's bigger and holds people, but it's too small for something like that. It was described as having the size, it being essentially the size of a SUV on the inside, which you wouldn't want to be in for however long it would take to get to Mars, which is probably more than, you know, a few days, which that would really be not a thing. But they are going to be sending craft to land on Mars. And because it's the Dragon craft that's landing on Mars, they're nicknaming the missions the Red Dragon set of missions, which I think is great. They should just send people on there. They should send serial killers to Mars. I think that would be...
They should send Ralph Fiennes into space.
You know, and then you could have, you know, the food packs would contain liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti, you know.
Send a lotion and a basket in the space.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. Sending stuff to Mars is a thing. Hopefully they make it. Hopefully, actually, that's two of Elon Musk's like promises for kind of the 2017-2018 timeframe. Supposedly, the Model 3 Tesla is going to come out in 2017. Supposedly, they'll be sending stuff to Mars in 2018. I think it's the future's bright. We'll talk about it when we get there, and hopefully, it will be a thing. And what we'll also talk about is all sorts of stuff when we talk next time. So, Brennan, I will see you next week.
Till next time, Alan.